Hi, good morning. Thanks for coming to The Nest. Hey, before we get started, if you can hear me, touch your head. Thank you. If you can hear me, touch your cheeks. Hey, thanks. If you've touched your head and your cheeks, that means you can hear me. And also, I've got directions for you. We need to move up and combine. We have a lot of tables that have that are half full and then a lot of space up front. So if y'all can, especially the back two rows, if y'all can move up and then join some tables, that would be really great. We've got some table leaders that weren't able to make it this morning, and we just need to combine. Oh, thank you for people that are moving. Thank you. Thanks. Only the first two rows are safe. Maybe the first three. Strollers, if you have a stroller, you have a pass. If you don't have a stroller, I'm looking at you. Just kidding. Thank y'all for being here. Hey, this morning is going to be a little bit different than our normal format, and we are so excited to change it up. So we have four speakers that are going to be sharing today, and then we have an amazing, amazing treat for you. You're going to love it. So it's going to go two speakers, a surprise in between, and then some table time. And then we'll have two more speakers, surprise, and table time at the end. And I am just thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. We will have resources at that table in the back by the drink fridge. So those will be referenced during the talk, but just know that they are back there. And I am so excited. Our first speaker, I am just ecstatic over. Her name is Grace. She's amazing and wonderful. She is going to speak with us this morning and then share her wonderful singing voice, y'all. And you are going to be so blessed. And I just can't wait. So Grace, come on up. Thank you so much for being here today. I'm going to pray for us real quick before we start, and then we'll get into it. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for a space where we can come and be nurtured, encouraged, strengthened, and trained. I pray that we can quiet our minds, Lord, so that we can receive everything that you have for us this morning. I pray that nobody needs to help anybody out downstairs, Lord, that our kids are happy and content and able to hang on until noon. So God, thank you for this time, and it's in your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning, guys. My name is Grace Thweet, and I'm going to be sharing this morning for a few minutes on habits to grow our personal relationship with God in this season of raising littles. A little bit about me. I am married to my husband, Johnson. We live in Richardson. We have two kids. There's our picture. William is almost three. Rosie is one, so we're very much in the little years, and it's fun and crazy, but we're loving it. And I have a ministry for moms called Renewed Motherhood, and we put out devotionals and liturgies and articles for moms in this season. And so this is really my heart in the season, so it's such a treat to get to come speak with you guys. Okay, well, in talking about growing our personal relationship with Christ, I want to first start off with talking about what might make us feel like we're not growing in our relationship with God in this season. And the first thing that came to my mind was just exhaustion. If we've been up with the baby at night, up with the sick toddler, and we go to read our Bible in the morning, and we don't even know what day it is, we are not firing on all cylinders, it can be hard to feel like we're connecting with the Lord and growing and studying His Word. Another aspect that I thought of was having little time to ourselves. When so much of our day is about caring for other people and meeting their needs, and we don't have a ton of time to, go in a room by yourself and do a silent Bible study or whatever it is that makes you feel connected with the Lord. That can be hard. Another thing is feeling busy or overwhelmed. If we are, rushing from preschool drop off to play date to appointment to prepping lunch and all the busyness and feeling overwhelmed, it can be hard to not only just feel connected to ourselves, but to feel connected to God in the moment. And so if this is you, you are not alone. I think this is so many of us here. But this is also the state that we see the psalmist of Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. And these are the two psalms we're going to look at in our time this morning. This pair of psalms is written by an Israelite who is feeling distant from God and who is longing to feel closer to God. He is in exile. He's longing to be back in Israel, back in God's house where he can worship God. And so we're going to look at these two psalms to see what his pursuit of the Lord when he's feeling distant from God might teach us. I'll start off reading the first couple verses from the psalm. They're printed on your handout as well. Psalm 42, 1 through 3 says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, 'Where is your God?'" So the psalmist is lacking the assurance of God's presence. He's longing for more of God. And we're going to see what he does from this place. We're going to look at three habits that he cultivates as he pursues nearness with the Lord. He cultivates, one, godly community, two, presence to the moment, and three, hope through prayer and God's word. So we're going to explore those three aspects. But to first start off with a picture of habit keeping, the psalm starts off with the image of a deer looking for water. He says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." And I read this in a commentary on this psalm that I thought was so interesting. The commentator said, "Deer have an entire network of unmarked highways and byways that transverse the countryside, cutting across fields, through forests, and over roads. Hunger, thirst, rest, and safety combine to funnel them along certain routes, and over time, these routes become established. As mothers raise their young along these same paths, they learn them well, and so it continues." And then she connects this description to the psalm, saying, "The image here is not of a deer overcome by fatigue, thirsting for a drink to quench the fire in his lungs, so much as that of a deer steadily, persistently following his longing to water. Less about desperation. It's more about how desire and habits drive us in predictable ways." And so this image is not of a deer who is about to die of thirst and is all of a sudden like, "I need to go find water." It's of a deer who's steadily, daily following these paths to water. And in the same way, we don't have to wait until we are at rock bottom, feeling distant from the Lord. We can cultivate these daily, moment-by-moment habits of seeking out the Lord, seeking out his life-giving water, and trusting that he will meet us when we seek him. And so with this image in mind, let's look at these habits of daily pursuing the Lord. First, the psalmist cultivates community. In Psalm 42:4, he says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival." And so when he's feeling distant from God, the psalmist remembers moments where he worshiped God in the past, where he felt God's presence in the past, and specifically where he worshiped God with others. And so like the psalmist, when we are feeling distant from God, we can fall back upon our history with God and his people. We can think back on past moments of worshiping God and his faithfulness, and rely on the body of Christ to sustain us and to encourage us in our relationship with God. But practically, we can't remember our history if we don't have one. And so in order to have a history to fall back on, we need to build in godly community. And if there's anything I've learned in this season is that if I don't schedule in community, it's not going to happen. With young kids, there's just always stuff coming up. And so a few practical things on this is, you know, maybe committing to a Bible study or a community group or something like the Nest once a week or once a month, something where you know you're going to have this rhythm of gathering with other believers and worshiping God together. Or even, you know, this could be something with your spouse, maybe for 15 minutes every night talking about, "What did the Lord teach me today? How did I see God in my life today?" Just scheduling in these moments of seeking the Lord in community so that we have something to fall back upon when our own faith is strained. Okay, two, cultivating presence to the moment. I'm going to read Psalm 42, 6 through 8 for us. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And so here, even though the psalmist is feeling distant from God, feeling like he wants more of God, he reminds his heart of what he knows to be true of God at the present. And he reminds himself of three things he knows to be true of God. First, that God is sovereign over him, over his circumstances. So the psalmist says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. So this is an image of suffering. Waterfalls, breakers, waves. But notice how the psalmist qualifies it. He says, God, these are your waterfalls, your breakers, and your waves. And so he's acknowledging that while God has not caused his suffering or his hard circumstances, the circumstances do belong to the Lord, and they are under God's sovereignty. Two, he reminds himself that God loves him in his circumstances. He says, by day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And I love that he uses this verb, God commands his love. You know, this is not a passive love. It is an active pursuit of love that God is loving us with. And then third, he reminds himself that God's spirit is at work within him in his circumstances. He says, at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And so he's saying, at night, the Lord gives me a song that is turned into a prayer. This is God's song. And this makes me think of, you know, even when we don't have the words to talk to God, the spirit is at work within us, giving us connection to God. I think of Romans 8:26, which says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us for groanings too deep for words. And so to sum this up, when we are feeling distant from the Lord, we can remind ourselves of what we know to be true, that he's sovereign over what we are facing, that he loves us in what we are facing, and that his Spirit is at work within us in what we are facing. And so now practically, in order to remind ourselves of what is true at the present, we ourselves have to be present. And this is hard with raising young kids. I find myself, rather than being present, often stuck in the future, planning, worrying about something. What am I going to cook for dinner? Did I schedule the baby's checkup? Did I text this friend back? Not being present to the moment. Or even just being overstimulated by what's going on around me, you know, trying to cook dinner and, the toddler needs help on the potty and the dog needs to go out. There's just so much going on that I can neglect to be present and tune into the Lord's presence with me. And so I want to talk about one practical way that we can learn to be present so that we can experience God's presence in the moment. And one thing that I've been working on is mindfulness, which is observing without judgment where we're at so that we can bring the fullest and most authentic version of ourselves to God. And so if we're struggling, instead of, you know, thinking, I shouldn't be like this, I'm fine, pull myself together, honestly going to God and saying, God, I'm feeling stressed out, I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, even, you know, getting descriptive with, I feel a lot of tension in my shoulders. I have a headache. I'm thinking these thoughts. My counselor recently shared with me, get as descriptive as you can with your feelings to be able to connect most fully to them. She said, you know, if your feelings were a color, or if they were a texture, what color or texture would they be? Or is there a metaphor you can think of to describe how you feel? And if this sounds kind of out there, I mean, look at how the psalmist describes himself. He compares himself to a panting deer. He says his tears have been his food. Description helps us connect to our feelings. And again, when we are connected to our present state, then we can bring the fullest version of ourselves to God and receive his present help for our present needs. Okay, third, cultivating hope through prayer and God's word. Psalm 43 3-5 says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And so here we see that the psalmist's hope for renewed closeness with God is sustained by two means, prayer, which is, you know, the entire content of this psalm, and the promises of God's word. When he says, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me to you, he's referring to God's word and the promises of God's word that sustain our hope in him. And so I want to talk about practical ways that we might cultivate prayer and God's word in the season we're in. First, with prayer. I feel like a lot of times in this season, if I'm tired or feeling easily distracted, it can be hard to be still and pray, even when I do get a couple minutes to myself. And so one thing that has helped me is engaging my body in prayer. So every morning, this looks like I will get down on my knees and open my hands like this and say, Lord, I receive from you this day and the power to engage all that you will place before me. And then I'll raise my hands and say, and Lord, I offer to you this day. May this day be about your glory and not mine. And then I'll put my hand over my heart and say, and I go forward as one who is chosen and marked and known and loved. And it's so short and so simple, but something about physically engaging my body helps me connect to what I'm saying, helps me focus even when I'm tired and distracted. So that's one practical tool for prayer. For God's word, I think we all know this, but having a plan, is there a time of day that we do it? Is there a specific study that we're going through? Having a plan with how we're going to be studying God's word. Another tool, this is one that I've used in seasons where I've been especially tired, maybe in the newborn season, maybe in a season where we're all sick, but picking one passage or one psalm to read every day and reading the same thing for however long it takes. Maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month, but not trying to fill my mind with more than it can handle at the time, and just letting God's word slowly wash over me. And I find that specifically with Psalms, you know, when I've read through the same one for a month, the truths have just sunk so much more deeply into my heart than if I had tried to be studying a lot at the time. So just being real with where we're at and setting realistic expectations. A third practical idea is knowing the things that distract us and being proactive with those. So for me, sometimes I have like a 30-minute overlap in my kids' nap, and I'll sit down to do my Bible study, and I'll scroll through Instagram for 15 of those minutes. And I'm like, why did I do that? And so one thing that's worked for me is setting a timer on my app, even deleting the app, because I know that in the moment I might be too weak to fight that temptation. So just doing an honest assessment of what are the things that distract me and prevent me from spending time in God's word and being proactive with practicing discipline with those things. Okay, so to wrap this up, summarize what we've talked about. Even when he's not feeling close to God, the psalmist relies on the habits of worshiping in godly community, attuning to the present and to God's presence with him, and relying on God's promises through prayer and God's word. And we too can cultivate these habits just like a deer following those paths to water as we wait on the Lord. And I would even just encourage you to pray through these two psalms, Psalm 42 and 43, if you are feeling distant from the Lord and wanting more in your relationship with him, and just let the psalmist's prayer guide you in your own journey. And I want to close with this. I want to close with this question of why can we trust that God will come through as we faithfully pursue him and seek closeness with him? So this psalm starts with an image of us thirsting. And in John 19, we see that Jesus too thirsted on the cross. John 19, 28 says this. After Jesus, knowing that all was finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So here we see that Jesus' thirst wasn't quenched. God gave him up to die on the cross. But because of this, we know that God will never desert us, because Christ secured for us God's unconditional love and commitment on the cross. Because Jesus' thirst wasn't quenched on the cross, we can respond in faith to his call. In John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. I'll pray for us now. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word to guide us in closeness with you, Lord. And the season of raising kids presents so many challenges that can make it hard to prioritize our relationship with you. And so I just ask, God, just for each mom in this room, that you would make your love such a compelling force, God, that we would stop at nothing to pursue closeness with you, that we would make the sacrifices to pursue closeness with you, and that you would give us more of yourself, Lord, because we want that closeness with you, and we know that we need your strength in this season. And so, God, we ask just even that this morning that you would make your presence real to us and give us the assurance of your love for us. Amen. All right, I'm going to move over to the piano now.
Earlier this year, I put out a lullaby album for moms and their kiddos because I feel like, you know, so often this season it is hard to sit down and read something, and so to be able to have music to just play over our time with our kids and let those truths not over sing over our kids but over us can be just such an encouragement in this season. And so this first song is called I'll Sing You a Song, and it ties with the theme of nurturing our own relationship with the Lord. It's about how the strength to care for and love our kids comes from first letting God care for and love us. The lyrics of the chorus say, I'll sing you a song as my heavenly Father is singing over me, and I'll rock you to sleep while the arms of my Savior are holding me in peace. And so I would just encourage y'all while I sing this to meditate on the fact that the Lord fills your hearts with his love so that you might overflow his love to your kids. And the strength does not have to come from yourself. It is from the Lord. And so this is, I'll sing you a song.
Chest, so your heart to my rhythms of faith, I'll hold you near, come find your rest, let those heavy eyes flutter and close, drift away to a world of unknown, stars up above, the night falls below, oh I'll sing you songs, my heaven Father is singing over me, and I'll rock you to sleep while the arms of my Savior are holding me in peace. When I'm weak, God is strong, he will carry us through, his love in me, it overflows, my love for you.
Hello, can you hear me? Hi, y'all. Good morning. That was beautiful, by the way. I got teary-eyed just listening to that, just how beautiful of an image that is, that God holds us. And as we hold our own kids, and it's just sweet. So thanks for that. Sorry, didn't mean to start like that. But my name is Kirsten Selby. This is a picture of my family up there. My husband Jeff, my oldest daughter Joy, she's 10, she's in the fourth grade. Jenny is 8 and in the second grade. Grant is in kindergarten, he's 5. And then we have the twin boys that just turned 2 after Christmas. So we've been at Watermark for about 14 years and been in your seats before and have just learned so much from a lot of the women who've spoken here. So anyway, this morning they just asked me to share some habits that help facilitate and form faith. I'm supposed to put it back there. And I'm just going to share kind of things that have worked well for us, some areas that we have kind of flopped and failed, and then also some of the fruit that we're seeing now that we're a few years out from a lot of you guys. Let me first say that I'm no more qualified or equipped than any of you guys to be discipling my kids. This morning, honestly, it's been really humble to go back and just look at the ways that God has been faithful, because I don't sit back and look at the years as a whole very often. But I'm just humbly want to share kind of what the Holy Spirit has done in my heart and convicted me of and given me attentiveness to in our home. And then I'm going to share a bunch of tools, a lot of practical tools that will hopefully kind of help equip you guys if you're looking for ways to kind of engage with your kids spiritually. And I'm going to have a whole table of them in the back. So if you want to come look through some stuff and get some ideas or look at a company or something, I hope this will be helpful to you. Okay, when I look back on 10 years of kids, there's only a few things that I think are really critical to have if you're going to start discipling your kids. And really what we're trying to do is just teach our kids what it looks like to abide with the Lord, right? This is just discipleship. So anyway, the first thing is just your own personal faith. If you do not have a faith and if you have not trusted in Jesus as your Savior, talk to someone at your table or in this room. That is how we get equipped, because the Holy Spirit through us is what gives us the tools we need to help teach and train our kids. Specifically, Matthew 28 talks about this, going to make disciples. And yes, it's all nations, but it starts in our home. And so don't forget that, that discipleship and teaching your kids starts in the home. Don't wait for somebody else to do that for you. The other thing is prayer. And this specifically, I would encourage you guys, if you feel overwhelmed, I know I did when I was younger and had younger kids, I thought, how on earth am I going to do this and do it well? And honestly, there have been times we've done it well, and there have been times we have not done it well too. So know that you're not alone, but start praying. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you wisdom where to start, and be attentive to what he tells you. The next thing is just some commitment and some patience. So I put those together because, yes, you need to have a plan, but have some flexibility and patience as it may or may not go as you think it will. And then, yeah, a plan. Okay, I put that on the next one. So there you go. Okay, so what does Deuteronomy talk about this? It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, impress them upon your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And it continues on, well, also in Deuteronomy. I don't know if that one's up there or not. But why do we do that? It says, because so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as they live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. And so we see through this scripture that there's a generational impact through discipleship, and also other blessings, long life, and just fearing and loving, fearing the Lord your God, which has a lot of fruit as you get older, especially. Okay, so most importantly, what I want you all to hear this morning is that this is more than just memorizing a lot of scripture or learning 100 Bible verses or getting your kid to sit down for 30 minutes and do a 30-minute quiet time and hitting that 30-minute mark. In our home, our prayer and our hope is that our kids would just grow to know and love a God that's a personal God, always accessible God, and not wait for this to be a relationship that they have with the Lord when they're feeling like they're failing their first test or somebody in the family gets really sick. This is showing them, modeling, helping them learn how to abide daily with the Lord, right? God does not only hear prayers if it's at 7:30 bedtime. So that's a good thing to remember. Scripture guides every aspect of our lives. And so my husband and I, that's one thing we try to show them is that, hey, God, we can talk to him at any point of our day. And learn from him at any point of our day. So, okay, what's worked and what hasn't worked? I'm going to go through a couple of things for us. Okay, we'll get to that in just a second. What's worked, most kids are hands-on. So if you have little ones, you probably know this, but they typically want to write, color, journal, answer questions, things like that, tangibles. If you haven't gotten your kid a Bible, that's an awesome thing to do too, especially we've given our kids their own children's Bible at age 5. I mean, a real one, not just the, you know, storybook Bible. Get them a Bible and then also go along with what they're eager about and excited about. So this is going to look different. I'll give you a really good example. Our oldest two are girls and our youngest three are boys. And our girls at age 3 and 4 could sit and do a quiet time and they could totally sit there and do it. And they would listen and they were attentive. And my 3-4-year-old boy could not sit there to save his life. He was so busy, and I know that's not always the case for everyone's, the gender differences, but for us it was. And so we started with a really small book. It was called Dinosaur Devotions. And sounds, I mean, it wasn't as deep as, I mean, you can imagine. But but it was really awesome, and it kind of built built into his morning some routine and structure that we later built on with other things. So anyway, don't be afraid to start with something different. And then also just developmentally considering where your kids are at. Some kids are ready earlier for more structured things. Some kids are not, and that's okay. So some things that didn't work too, don't make them do your own study. If you're doing the women's Bible study in Hebrews right now, they could care less about the covenants and they don't want to hear. So start with something that really gets their interest or is really easily applicable to their lives. And then what also didn't work was making it a chore. So with this, I kind of say give flexibility, but encourage discipline. And by encourage discipline, have a plan. So for our family, that was waking up in the morning. We typically do our quiet time first and then the kids come in and join us. For the end part of it. And then, flexibility, just meaning if your kid wakes up and they're in a rotten mood or you didn't sleep well last night, we're not trying to encourage legalism here. We're just simply trying to encourage them to want to abide with the Lord. So if it's forced, it's probably not going to be that fruitful. Okay. So I'm going to walk through some actual resources now, some companies that have used their resources, some other things that we've made up. And these will all be in the back, so you don't need to rush to write them down, but they're just some really great things. From newborn to pre-K, a lot of this is modeling. So if you don't already spend time with the Lord, consider what that looks like for you and your husband, and show them what it looks like to get up and spend time in God's word and prioritize that and pray to him when you need help with things or just when you want to celebrate something. It's never too young to model. And then there's some books up there, Jesus Storybook Bible. Y'all probably all are familiar with that. There's also Jesus Calling Storybook Bible, similar. That's the dinosaur devotional right there, if you want that one. I'll kind of show you in just a second kind of how we started at the next level. But those cards at the bottom are just some kids read truth scripture cards, and they're very simple verses. So for each letter of the alphabet, and our kids have gone through those and memorized scripture really young. And I think you all, if you have a 2-year-old or up, you're starting to realize that they have a huge brain to capture a lot of things. And they can totally repeat to you quotes from their shows and all other things. So they can certainly memorize God's word. So don't forget about that. There's an awesome resource. Oh, here's a few more examples. For praying in our home, some ways we've encouraged that more naturally is we put our Christmas cards together on a ring and we pray for the families. Every night we usually pick a family and the kids love it because it's their friends. And then also we have a little jar that we keep cards in. And so the kids put their classmates, their teachers, their soccer friends, their friends from church, our community group, our foundation group. We let them put anyone in there. They love making new friends and adding them to the jar also. But everyone has a color code. So when we pull a card and, you know, Grant is blue, so he pulls his blue buddies. Mom and dad have a color, and we pick our friends, and we pray for them. So that's just a really neat thing to do, and it's super easy. You don't need a ton to do that. We have read and drawn Bible stories, and I'll kind of get into that. Okay, there we go. This is a good example. I took some snapshots of it. But when our kids were early elementary, my husband would take them and read out of the Jesus Storybook Bible a story. They would talk about it, and they would draw a picture. That was as simple as it was. So these are some of their drawings, and they're kind of fun to look back at. Actually, my girls were looking back through this week, and it was real sweet because, sometimes it's hard to tell what story it is. Anyway, you can clearly see that Noah is trying to get on that ark, but he's bent over. I'm not sure. Maybe that's not Noah. Maybe that's an animal. I'm not sure. Anyway, so we started with this, just really easy ways for them to be engaged with the story. And then when they got older, I'll go into this a little bit more, but when they got into kindergarten age, we started, my husband took the next round of younger kids, and I took the older ones, and we did on these note cards on the back of them, we just went back, revisited the stories, looked at the picture and said, hey, what do we see about God's character in this? What are we learning about? What can we apply from this story to our lives? And so you can kind of, you can read some of them not. The blue one is real hard, but God made food when there was no food from the sky. That's what it says. The first line, I'm not sure about the second line. But anyway, you can see how they have applied a little nugget of truth from these scriptures. So this was about kindergarten, first grade area. There's also, I didn't put a picture of it, but there's two books that Daily Grace Company puts out. They're an awesome resource if you haven't checked them out. But they have a copy and rewrite scripture book, and it's also a book about the character of God, and it has some questions in it. We'll talk about God's love, it'll talk about God's compassion, whatever, but then it has three little blanks of questions, and it's an awesome resource for a kid who's not quite reading, writing a ton, but can copy a verse, so that's awesome. So this is pre-K to kinder. We talked a little bit about that, what promises we see. We kind of expounded on that. Some other things, or these are some more resources. There's a company, the Daily Grace Company, also puts out a daily prayer calendar, that bottom left picture. And it is very similar to the daily prayer plan that Watermark's doing now, although it's a whole year and they have a prompt for every day. And that's kind of a fun thing that our kids like to look through also. There's little lunchbox encouragement cards. It has scripture in it. You just literally rip it off, put it in their lunchbox, can write a little heart, whatever you need to do. But it just redirects them to the Lord during their daytime, which is cool. And then that top left picture, this is a really cool, Not Consumed Ministries has been one that's been really helpful to us. They have different studies that are all the same study, but are divided by appropriate age. So there's primary studies for 5 to 7 year olds. There's also a preteen book, a teenager book, and a parent handbook that all study the same thing, but the handbook is different. So the primary will have a lot of coloring and pictures, and the adult one obviously has a little bit more scripture and just writing. So as your kids get older, that's something that you could kind of get on the radar. I know some of y'all might have kids that are starting to get to the elementary age, but you also might have young ones at home. And so, anyway, that's that. Now in elementary, I'm just going to briefly go over this. I know a lot of y'all probably don't have kids quite in elementary, but I know it was helpful for me to kind of get a glimpse of what's coming. Because I feel like those early years, there is a lot of investment and there's a lot of fruit that comes from it. But here's what's coming next if you're not there yet. Elementary, those are my girls. That's what quiet time looks like at our house. The girls are on my bed. My son's with my husband. Hopefully the twins are sleeping. Sometimes not. Anyway, my husband made a Who Am I book, that top right picture and the bottom left one. And one thing we had seen through a lot of time in student ministries here previously was that so many kids grow up not knowing who they are in the Lord. They say they have a relationship with the Lord, or they think they do, but they have no understanding of who they are, what their purpose is. And so we just picked scripture and we just said, hey, like these are some verses that I think would be really helpful for you guys to learn early on. And so you can see my daughter's journal on the bottom left. She's written the verse and then written what it means at the bottom. And so we've encouraged them to memorize these verses. And that was just a really simple thing that we chose to do. We're currently doing some sibling challenge cards because we're struggling with sibling friendship, being kind to each other. And then Join the Journey Junior is another one that you can jump on when your kids get older, but that's quite a bit older. That's a little bit more application. And then I just wanted to share a little bit of the fruit that we've seen. Obviously, we have a larger span of kids, and so we've started to see some fruit in our older kids, and I just wanted to share that to help you guys not be discouraged. I think it's easy to think, you know, man, this is a long haul. How do we do this, right? But I'll share a couple of things. First, Joy and Jenny, our oldest two, have been inviting some friends from school to church weekly for about 3 years now. And so we typically take two cars to church, and we typically take a bunch of friends with us. But one cool story from this last week, and I celebrate this. I'll tell you in a second, but okay. From this last week, we took their two friends and then went to pick up another friend and another, and one of the moms texted me 20 minutes before we left and said, I think I want to go to church with you guys this week. I have been inviting her for a long time, y'all, like a long time. But I told my girls this week, I said, you know what? That is how God works. He's using the faithfulness of you guys inviting your friends to church. And look what's happening. Because they've come regularly, their mom is finally like, I think I might want to come, which is just cool. So anyway, I share these stories not to boast of anything we've done, but simply celebrate what God's doing and through his Holy Spirit in their lives. And then another thing that I just want to share, those pictures on the left are a summer Bible study that I led last summer. I just want to encourage you guys, if your kids are eager to share Jesus, run with it, because it's a short window probably before they're probably going to be embarrassed or whatever. But we did one of the Not Consumed studies, and they each invited friends from school, and those are those pictures, the group pictures on the top left. And we studied God's word together with a bunch of kids who most of them don't go to church. And so that was just a really cool opportunity of just how we've seen the fruit of them wanting their friends to know Jesus. And then the bottom two pictures, my second oldest daughter, she's in second grade. She asked me at the end of the fall of last year, she said, Mom, I think I want to lead a Bible study. And I said, okay. And my first thought was, no, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. But then she brought me her plan. She had planned out all their activities, what she was reading, the craft she was doing, and the snack that she was going to prepare, and her list of friends that she was inviting. And there, believe it or not, we go to a public school in Richardson, and she has six girls from kindergarten, my son's kindergarten class, his buddies, his girl buddies, whatever you want to call them, that are coming. And it's been really sweet. And I just, I say that because I read a book, I put it on one of the earlier slides, but Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. If you haven't ever read that, I started reading that when my kids started school, and just praying through, hey, like praying for their character, praying for them to have a heart for the gospel, praying for them and their relationships with others. And I'm seeing the fruit of those prayers now as she has desired to share the gospel, and she's literally making disciples of kindergartners, a second grader of kindergartners. It's just crazy. But that's how God works, and that's cool. The top right picture is just, I have to share this one because my kindergartner, one of the things I thought for years was like, he's never going to sit still and he is never going to listen. And he's in kindergarten this year. He has asked every single one of his friends that I know of if they know Jesus. And that's his artwork. It's really hard to read up there, but it says Jesus is the best. Jesus, he is the savior of the world is what it says. And his teacher sent me that just 2 weeks ago. And that's just sweet. And so I say all that and I share that just to give you guys encouragement that these early years are not lost. There's a lot of fruit. And you may not see that fruit for a long time, but this is what God does And this is the work of the Holy Spirit in kids when you disciple them, when you help them to learn what it looks like to abide with him. So anyway, I hope that's encouraging. Again, I'll have a bunch of resources at the back if y'all want to come look at them afterwards. But I really enjoyed being with y'all this morning. So thanks. Oh, and Grace is going to come up and sing again. I was going to sing, but I decided not to. So, right? You need a backup.
Thank you. That was so encouraging and just fun to get to hear, you know, having littles and getting to look forward to the next season and seeing that the seeds we're sowing now have fruit. So thank you. Okay, this next song that I'm going to play, just playing off the theme of seeking to cultivate faith in our kids. It's called Keep You.
Here we go. It's called Keep You, and it's about, it's written as a prayer just to sing over our kids. The lyrics say, God before you, God behind you, God around you everywhere. Your protection, your provision, every moment he is near. May he keep you in his love. And I wrote this because I feel like I just need the reminder that ultimately, you know, I can sow the seeds, but my kids' faith is in the hands of the Lord, and it's cultivated by the Spirit's work. And so this song is just kind of a surrendering of, God, may you keep my kids in your love. My confidence lies in you and not in myself. And so, yeah, this is Keep You.
Behind you, God around you everywhere. Your protection, your provision, every moment he is near, always near. Shepherd, he will lead you, he'll
Thank you so much, Grace. Oh, I'm loud. Okay. I can't help but notice there's like no babies crying when she sings. So we're just going to let her sing for the rest of the time. Everybody take a nap. We're going to send it to table time real quick. We're going to get a few minutes to discuss these first two topics that we have gotten to listen. And so a couple of questions here that you guys can discuss amongst your table. And then we will pop back up in a little bit with some more from the stage.
Hello. Good morning. I know everybody's still talking in their table talk. We're going to have more time at the end of this. So we're going to have our next talk. It was funny. We were back there and she's like, can you get everyone's attention? I'm going to say, if you can hear me, touch your nose. Just like our kids. My name is Stephanie Horner and this is my family. My husband, Shane, and I have been married for 16 years. We have a 14-year-old daughter, Michaela, a 12-year-old son, Dylan, and a 10-year-old son, Peyton. We have been attending Watermark for 15 years, ever since we moved here from Denver. We've been serving in various ministries. In fact, I remember when my daughter was young, I attended The Nest, and I loved it. I never wanted to miss one. And then I started serving at The Nest, and I loved it. It was so my favorite, and I haven't been back here in a long time. So thank you for having me. It is a joy and a privilege. And they asked me if I would talk about habits in marriage. So I got to thinking, I'm like, what do I love about my marriage? I was jotting things down, and I was asking my community group, what do you do in your marriage that is a great habit? I was jotting it down and asking friends. I sat down to get ready to talk or to prepare for the talk. And the Holy Spirit took me somewhere totally different. I remembered what was actually important in my marriage. So those are the habits that I'm going to talk about today. This talk is for people in a healthy marriage and a safe marriage. If you are not safe in your marriage, either physically or emotionally, I encourage you to talk to someone at The Nest before you leave today. Or come on Wednesday. Reengage meets here every Wednesday night, and that is a very safe place to go. For those of us blessed in a safe marriage, I have 10 habits that I'm going to talk about today. These habits start with you because despite how much we want to control our husbands and our kids and our days and absolutely everything, there's only one person you can control, and that's you. So these habits are going to start with you. So why do we want to instill healthy habits in our marriage? You have small kids. You're exhausted. The last thing you need is one more thing to do, right? It's true. Here we are telling you, take all these habits and do all these things. But it's just little nuggets that we want you to grab. And as far as your marriage is concerned, why do we need to take care of it? Because the Bible tells us to. And it really is more important than our children. And I want to tell you, we start habits in our lives, exercise habits, eating healthy, because when we get it to be a habit, it's easier, right? So if we can get healthy habits in our marriage, the goal is to make our marriage easier. And if the marriage is the foundation, from that comes so much, including parenting. So if you can get healthy habits in your marriage, your parenting will be healthier too. Your house will be healthier. You'll be a healthier person all over. So, okay, we're going to start with number one, the habit of prayer. I'm going to tell you the habit and then the fruit that it will produce. The habit of prayer. It will produce lots of fruit in your life, ladies. What I want you to know is that when you pray for your husband, your affection for him will grow. So that is the habit. Your affection for your husband is going to grow through this. The best book I've read on this is called Praying for Your Husband from Head to Toe. It's by Sharon Janes, J-A-Y-N-E-S. It is a great book. It's 31 days of praying for your husband. And when I read this book, I was so in tune to praying so many prayers for my husband. It opened my eyes to different ways to pray for him, specific ways to pray for him. It was beautiful. The second part of prayer, so we're going to be praying for our husbands. Ladies, I challenge you to initiate prayer with your husband. Let me tell you what that looks like in the Horner home. We might be getting ready to go out to dinner. We might be ready to walk into a child's room that's been struggling with something. It might be before we get out of bed. It might be before we go to bed. I'll just grab his husband, grab my husband's hand. Say, hey, babe, will you pray for us? Or sometimes I say, hey, babe, can I pray for us? Our husbands are our spiritual leaders of our home, but we are the helper. And so I challenge you guys to get into the habit of helping yourselves pray, helping your spouse and you pray together. Again, your affections are going to grow for your husband. Second is the habit of positive thought, the habit of assuming the best in your husband. How many of us have received a text, read it, and been angry and mad and sad, and talked to the sender, and they're like, whoa, I did not mean that bad at all, right? I think we can do this with our husbands a lot. We negative interpret what he's doing. We negative interpret what he's not doing. We negative interpret what he says. We negative interpret what he doesn't say. Ladies, this builds animosity and bitterness in our hearts. So if we get into the habit of positive thought, again, your affection for your husband will grow. Because just like in the example with the text, we think negative, so we feel negative, right? If we start putting positive thoughts, assuming the best about our husband, our heart and our affections will grow. We will feel better. Third, the habit of complimenting our husbands. So we're going to be praying for our husband. We're going to be thinking positively about him. Our affections for him will grow. And the Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look for ways to compliment your husband. Some, you might have to write down, just sit there in your quiet time and just write things, how you can love him and encourage him. Let me tell you the fruit that will come from this. Your husband will be strengthened. He will be encouraged. He will be more confident in his marriage and in who he is as a man. And who doesn't want that? That's the husband that we want to have. And ladies, you can help that. Get into the habit that when you have eyes to see something that he's doing that you appreciate, please tell him. It's a beautiful habit. Habit number four. Let's get into the habit of quickly forgiving and offering grace for the little things. This is something that we should do for everything. We should be quick to forgive, quick to offer grace in all situations. But right now, I'm just talking about the little things like, ugh, he put his shirt on the floor again. Or, ugh, he should know to take out the trash. Those things that we all do, and it's just little more nuggets of bitterness. Guys, we want grace. The Lord freely offers his grace to us. We want our friends to give us grace and forgiveness. Let's offer that to our husbands, okay? Let's offer that and avoid the bitterness in your marriage. Number five, get into the habit of communicating with your husband. All communication is wonderful. This is actually the number one habit of any successful relationship, not just for spouse. But what I'm talking about here is communicate what you're thinking. How many of us sometimes say, oh, I shouldn't have to tell him that, or he should know that. I told him once, why doesn't he know that? Y'all, he doesn't know. He forgot. Remind him. Get in there and tell him, babe, this is my heart's desire. Don't make him guess your heart's desire. Communicate with him. This is going to create safety in your marriage. We don't want our husbands to have to try and guess what we're thinking. Let's communicate with him and create that safety. Okay, number six, get into the habit of touching your husband. Now, I was going to get into the habit of sex, which I think is very important, but that's a whole nother topic. But right now, I'm just talking about those little gestures, little touches that say, I care about you. Scientifically proven touch improves mental health. It improves emotional well-being. It reduces stress. It doesn't have to be a grandiose gesture to your husband. Just reach out and touch him. And what this is going to do is your husband is going to feel your affection for him, and he's going to feel your care for him. Number seven, get into the habit of saying hello, goodbye, and I love you. What do I mean? I mean, say hello, goodbye, and I love you. We have little kids. Y'all have little kids. You're busy. You're running from one place to another place. Let's instill those simple pleasantries in our marriage again. Just if you walk into a room and he's there, acknowledge that he's there. Say hi. Try and say, I love you every day. There is nothing bad that happens from saying I love you to your husband a lot. It's a very simple way to show him that you care. The fruit from that, again, your husband will feel your affection in that. Okay, this one's hard for some. Some of you might be like, not for me. It's easy for my husband and I don't know why. It's always been easy. Go to bed at the same time as your husband. And I don't even mean every night. But going to bed with, no, you're not going to bed with anyone else. Your husband isn't going to bed with it. It's just the two of you. It's something that just the two of you can do. So what is this habit going to produce? It's going to produce friendship. You don't need to go to sleep at the same time. Read a book. Read separate books. Sometimes my husband and I will be doing two totally separate things, but our feet will touch. Okay, cheesy, I know. But it does, it produces that friendship. And that's something that with littles, you forget that you're also friends with your husband. You married him for a reason. Let's instill that friendship. So if this one's not an everyday thing for you guys, maybe once a week. Maybe pick Fridays. Go to bed with your spouse on Fridays. I think you'll appreciate that. You'll see the fruit in this. Okay, number 9, get into the habit of doing a fun activity together. Okay, go for a walk. My husband and I like to do quiet times at the same time. We don't do our same, it's not the same quiet time, but we'll do it in the same room. Exercise. Some people like to cook on Friday nights. I don't like to cook, but some people like to cook with their spouse. Find fun things, build into that friendship. Okay, and last but not least, laugh. Remember to laugh with your spouse. It's the most important thing is just to keep life jovial, okay? Enjoy each other. And that's all I have.
All right, y'all. My name is Martha Knutson, and this is my family. I've got two kiddos in elementary school and a husband who we affectionately call the Silver Fox because he's going very gray very fast. But I like it, so it's okay. I am going to share with you guys today some habits for building into your community. And so I'm not talking about community as in community groups, but we're talking community as in the people around us. And so biblically, you may hear this referred to a lot as hospitality. In the Bible, in the New Testament, the Greek word hospitality literally means love of strangers. So this is something that is both commended and commanded in Scripture. Proverbs 14:31 says, "The one who oppresses the poor person insults his maker, but the one who is kind to the needy honors him." You may even be familiar with stories of apostles and missionaries in biblical times that were going to spread the news of Christ's resurrection, that the Messiah had come, and they did not have GoFundMe pages. They did not have organized missionary groups that they were working with where they could like raise their salaries. They depended on the kindness and the hospitality of strangers, the safety of strangers when they traveled. And so this is kind of where we are getting the roots for what God is asking us to do. So really in the simplest of terms, it's asking us to use what we have and also to hold loosely to it. And I can fully acknowledge that in this stage of life when you've got little bitties who like are literally on you all day, or you're constantly juggling the needs of others, opening your home and like serving another person sounds daunting and relatively unrealistic. So let me just be clear that this is not like host a formal dinner party hospitality. This is open your daily routine just a little bit wider to envelop the community that is around you, the people that are surrounding you. So I'm going to give you 4 kind of habits that you can tap into to create a little bit more involvement in loving and encouraging the community around you. The first one is margin. Create and save margin in your daily schedule. If you look at that and you go, "Ha, margin," pray for that. Pray through creating margin. What is something that maybe you need to give up or you need to make, carve out, or a simple way that you can make space in your commitments? I think it's easy for us to say yes to a lot of good things, but a lot of times what the Lord may be calling us to do is actually say no to things as well. And that's difficult because that may be serving on a committee for some fundraising for a preschool. That may be, "Hey, come help us lead this Bible study group." Things that are good things, but may not be your best yes. And so I think for a lot of us, we want to be helpful. We want to be engaged. So saying no can be kind of difficult. It takes a little bit of practice, especially for myself. So we're going to practice real quick. On the count of 3, I want everybody to say no. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. No. Okay, so you can do it. Okay, so we got that down. Everybody can say no when it's not the right ask. Okay, so that's going to help you create margin. And I think this is just so important because the truth is You need to have space in your schedule, in your emotional life, in your finances to say yes when God calls you. And you want to be able to say yes to those things that he is asking us to do. So margin is habit one. Second habit is be intentional. Bible verse that really has just been on my heart for this year is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. Intentionality is something that I feel like the Lord has just called me to this year. And it's really in the simplest of ways. What are some of the natural routines in your life that you can take advantage of? That may be just something that happens in your day that where you can engage other people. One of those things is everybody eats. You eat, your children eat. Your children eat three times a day, which I think is a little unreasonable to have to feed them three times a day, but it happens. So you have a meal three times a day, and that may be an opportunity for you to invite a neighbor over and just, hey, we're going to have lunch in the front yard. Do y'all want to come over and engage with somebody who you don't normally have a conversation with? Hear about what's going on in their lives so that you can pray for them, follow up with them, encourage them with biblical wisdom. That could be a coworker who you know doesn't have lunch plans, and y'all just meet up in the break room, and you get to have those conversations. These are paths that are part of our normal routine that you can just incorporate them into. Another way that you can be intentional is just inviting others to join in on what you're already doing. And that may look like coming to church, coming to the Nest. Y'all probably have friends that you can invite to come to the Nest. Hey, y'all sign up for this talk with me. Come meet up, engage, connect, follow up afterwards. Be a source of encouragement for those around you who need it. Even opportunities around the church. I know next weekend there's a father-son retreat for elementary age kiddos. And so that's a great opportunity to invite. We've invited some friends from our soccer team who may not have a church home to come and just plug in. And it's a fun opportunity to spend some time together, but also encourage them in their faith. And then I think you can also try to be intentional with who you engage with. If you look around your daily routine, your surroundings, and everybody that you talk to, everybody that you see looks the same, believes the same, feels the same about all the things that you do, it may be time for you to reevaluate who you're engaging with. If you're just in a comfortable place with everybody that fits the same little kind of belief and type that you have created around yourself. Matthew 28:19-20, I know Kirsten referenced earlier, the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. One of the best things about Dallas and like even Richardson, I know a lot of people are in Richardson, is that it is a very large refugee resettlement area. There are thousands of refugees that live in the Dallas area and hundreds are being resettled here every month. So the nations are literally at our fingertips. They are all around us. It just takes a little bit of opening up that circle a little bit wider to engage with those people. Third habit, keep it simple. This is like name of the game for us, right? Like we're not going to add a whole nother task onto our plate already. But whatever your heart may be wanting to pursue, keep it simple and keep it small. An example is foster care. A lot of people may have a heart for foster care, but if you've got three kids under three, now is not the time to bring a baby into your home. But you can become a licensed babysitter. You can contact some of the partners that we have through Watermark, like Buckner. CK Family Services is another one that you can be a licensed babysitter. And then that way, when people... You probably have friends that are doing foster care. When they need a babysitter last minute because they got to take the other kiddo to the doctor, you are a place that they can drop off. You can help out in those small ways that are already part of your daily routine, and you're not having to go out of your way, but you're loving and serving those who need it. Volunteer with your children. Watermark has done the heavy lifting for you. If you go to watermark.org/outreach, there's a slew of opportunities for you to serve. A lot of them are family friendly. You can bring little biddies with you, packing food boxes at Brother Bill's, all kinds of opportunities, and you can sign up. Great opportunity for you to serve with your family, even as a community group, but you're not having to reinvent the wheel. You can just sign up to go and do that for a couple hours on a Saturday morning. So that's another opportunity for you guys. And then simple discipleship. I'm not thinking of something super formal, but who do you come in contact with normally? One person that probably a lot of us have in our lives is a babysitter. It's a young woman who you have that comes over and helps love and serve your family. We usually ask our babysitter to come over like 15 minutes before we actually need her there. Now, sometimes I'm running around the house still trying to get ready, but I intentionally have her over so that we can have a quick conversation. Hey, how'd softball tryouts go? Whatever happened with that English project? Tell me about that conversation you had to have with your friend. And it's just a great way to know what's going on in her life so I can follow up and encourage her in those times when she needs it. Teachers, maybe Sunday teachers here at Watermark, it may be, or your home church, it may be preschool teachers or public private school teachers. They love and serve your family by loving and serving your kids. Ask them how you can pray for them. Find out what some of their favorite things are. Drop off their favorite Sonic drink and just say, thanks for being such an amazing presence in my kid's life. Have a happy Thursday. Whatever it may be, to kind of lift their spirits and let them know that you see them, that you appreciate them, and that you can encourage them in those ways. Also, I think of people that we just like naturally see every day. Mail people. If you have the same mail person that drops stuff off at your house every day, if you have a crossing guard that you wave to every day when you're walking kiddos to school, or a grocery clerk. I know I have a grocery clerk that I always run into, and we recognized each other and kind of did one of those like, huh, like, why do I know you kind of things. Our kiddos end up going to the same school. And so that started a conversation. But now every time I go to the store, I see if she's working and I can go to her checkout lane just so I can catch up with her and see how her kids are doing. And she has a different faith. She's Muslim. And so it's an awesome opportunity just for me to be able to say simple things like I'm praying for you, or share little aspects of my faith and how the Lord has restored me over some situation that we've discussed. Very simple ways. And then if this is not a desire of your heart to engage with other people, to plug into your community because you're just up to your eyeballs in kids, I will backtrack and say this is a great opportunity for you just to start in prayer and just say, Lord, I know this is a desire of your heart. This is a command that you've given me. Would you just align my heart with yours and give me a desire, an opportunity to reach out and encourage those around me, love those around me that need it. I think when you pray for those opportunities, they really do come up. I actually wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to go fast. I have a neighbor who moved in a couple months ago who is a single mom, and she is Muslim, and we've had some little conversations here and there, but she's got twin four-year-olds and a single mom, and y'all know it's super busy. So we don't get a whole lot of time to engage. But I got a piece of her mail the other day, and I was like, yes, reason to go knock on her door. And so I just got to go drop it off and say hi. And it's just those little opportunities that I felt like that was very clearly something that I had a desire for, and the Lord just like placed it in my lap. Here, go have a conversation with her over her T-Mobile sales mail, whatever it was. And then lastly, hold loosely to your expectations, hold loosely to what your home should look like when you invite somebody over, to your kids' behavior. It does not have to be all tied together with a bow, because I think when you invite people over and your house is like a little bit messy, it makes me go, oh, they're normal. Like, I'm normal. Everybody has a pile of laundry or a stack of dishes or whatever it is. So hold loosely to those expectations that you may have put upon yourself. And that may also look at expectations for time. When you create that margin, when you're intentional, when you're prayerful about what the Lord wants you to do, and then you can hold loosely to those things and allow the Lord to work. I'll just close with this verse from Deuteronomy 10 verses 14 and then 17 through 19. It says, the heaven indeed, the highest heavens, belong to the Lord your God, as does the earth and everything in it. For the Lord your God is the God of all gods, the Lord of all lords, the great, mighty, and awe-inspiring God, showing no partiality and taking no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the resident alien, giving them food and clothing. You are also to love the resident alien since you were resident aliens in the land of Egypt. And I just love this verse because it paints a picture of like of the Lord's heart for us and how we can love others, that these things, as we hold loosely, like they're not ours. These things are the Lord's, and we can steward them well and allow those natural patterns of our life to be ways that we can serve others and serve him. So thank y'all for listening. Grace is going to come up for one more quick song.